Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, it is good to be with you, my friend. It's good to see you. How about that Cracker Barrel? Cracker Barrel been
Cracker Barrel did not know
the swarm of bees that they were going to kick.
First off,
by changing their logo.
Can we just admit at how stupid that conversation is? That whole conversation is like, okay, like just all different rabbit trails of that conversation are dumb to me.
Yeah.
I just, if it makes them more money, which I don't think it did.
No, their stocks tanked.
Yeah.
They actually issued an apology letter I saw today.
Oh my gosh.
An apology letter. Cracker Barrel released an apology letter. Let's just let that sentence sink in.
I think out of all things, the Cracker Barrel logo should be on your last list of priorities to care about in this world right now.
Yeah.
Like, there are other things better to care about than the Cracker Barrel logo.
Have you ever eaten at Cracker Barrel?
Because I think I ate there once.
I don't even know.
And it was not, like, memorable.
Like, I don't know if I should be outraged. You know,
I feel like,
I'm all for a good outrage. You know, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I'm all for a good one, but
I feel like Cracker Barrel is the older, whiter version of basically the breakfast version of TGI Fridays with more.
Do they have an arcade?
They have a gift shop.
Oh, so they took the arcade out and replaced it with a gift shop?
I feel like it's, I don't know. They're trying to do too much with that place.
Okay.
They're trying to be a Buc-ee's. They're trying to be.
Never been at a Buc-ee's either.
Memorable, whatever.
Isn't Buc-ee's a gas station?
It is a gas station.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Well, I mean, I'm glad some people had some reason to be outraged this week. Good for them. Thank you, Cracker Barrel, for continuing on the wonderful tradition of outrage for no reason. Here's the thing. I don't want to knock it before I try it. I might, next time I'm in an area with a Cracker Barrel, I will try it. And who knows, Jack, I might send you a Marco, and I too might be outraged. You're like,
I think Idaho is
like
the closest.
Where's my barrel?
I think Idaho has the closest Cracker Barrel right now.
It's all cracker now. There's no barrel. Wait, did they call it Cracker Barrel because it's just white people that eat there?
No.
I
don't think so.
All right. I was going to say, maybe I should be outraged. That's a bad joke. Bad joke. Oh, Jack, my friend, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to, we're finishing up the series today. The liturgy series, we're rounding it out with the benediction, as all good liturgies are rounded out with. I'm very excited. But before Before we do that, we have some business to get to, and that is it is time for everyone's favorite segment. You know what time it is, everyone. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. Jack, I've got some.
Oh, my gosh.
Great ones for you,
dude. This is always a Russian roulette of craziness.
Yeah, it is. So. It is. You never know how many bullets I have in the cylinder. Today I have two. We'll see if you get hit by any of them. I'm gonna send you this first one. This first one is another exercise in how long can you take it? How long can you stand this? Okay, and I want our listeners to let us know how many seconds that, yes, if they replaced, like, you know you're in Guantanamo Bay, right, and you're getting, you know, you're being questioned.
Yeah. To Metallica, how long could you take it?
How long can you ride this thunder? Let's just say that. Or lightning. Ride the lightning. How long can you ride this lightning?
Oh my gosh.
All right, here we go. Jack, this is what happens when you let your aunt, your very conservative aunt, not only, I would say, you let her loose on Facebook, but you let her loose on YouTube.
Tesla is not the enemy. Tesla is an American company. Praying peace, prosperity, and protection in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God's Son.
So
Satan is the enemy.
Someone's got to come get their Aunt Carol, dude. Aunt Carol,
dude,
out here.
What does Tesla have to do with anything?
Okay,
why
can we,
is this
can
woman?
We, can we diagnose like the scene here? Because there's some wild stuff going on. Okay,
dude, there's like children's like yeah. armor with crosses on
so
it.
So I
is
had
there crusading
okay.
stuff going yeah. on. What's happening?
So
here?
Okay, so for our non audio or for our non visual listeners. Just audio. I'm going to explain to you what's happening here. We have a woman, unnamed. I'm calling her Aunt Carol. All right. We have Aunt Carol sitting here on a very, very worn sofa.
She's got this sofa's Dolly Parton shirt on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to. So, yeah. So the first thing that you really do see is the massive American flag. Yep. Right behind her that she obviously just jammed into the couch right yep. before the video happened. Okay. So the American flag's right there. To her right is a guitar that's just, she's not playing it. It's just sitting
and it's
there.
Written on.
There's some script. I can't see what the script is. It's signed
it
by someone. Not sure what's going
marker
on.
There.
Okay. She's got a Dolly Parton shirt on. Okay. So she's All the Southern people love Dolly. I know this. What gets me is that she has very intentionally placed. She has surrounded herself with the Christian bookstore children's edition of the Full Armor of God. I had this exact set growing up.
Oh,
I remember trying to cram that helmet on my head. I remember this very distinctly. This set is from like the late 90s.
Wow.
That is when this was super popular. And she has like she's surrounded herself. She's bolstered herself in all of the pieces of the armor of God. And we get this song about Tesla being an American company and how we need to support them because they're rooted in American values and Jesus Christ. And now she's got this second verse, which, yes, absolutely. We're going to listen to it. We're talking like she's going after the devil now. Because she's got the full armor of God. She knows she can.
The enemy seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Ooh. Our country. Praying wisdom, peace, and protection in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God's son.
I love the
dude, her signing, I love the, Jesus.
I love the sign language, dude, at the end.
No.
It's like the only sign language she knows is for Jesus. So if you're deaf,
wait.
Like that's all you got.
America's in a covenant with God?
Apparently. According to, I mean, Tesla, it sounds like it.
What is going so, on here, people?
Anyway, someone come get your Aunt Carol. She's out here. She found the publish button. She found the upload button on YouTube, and she is going for it. Jack, I'm going to introduce you to a man that should need no introduction, but he was very big in the 80s and then had to do a little stint, and he's making his comeback. But he had to do a little stint in the old jail cell. He did some time in prison. But you can find him now, still like going strong on things like the TBN network and all that. He's selling his survival buckets. I'm talking about the one and the only Jim Baker, and I have a video here of Jim Baker trying. Moses. He's sampling his own stuff. He's sampling his own product here. He's getting high on his own supply, if you will. Here's Jim Baker.
I'm going to eat some more of this if you're not careful. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Good. Oh my God.
What is happening?
You didn't have lunch, right?
So
wow.
Eat some more of this. Wow. You're not careful.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I just realized this is for our audio only listeners, this is probably wild. this is probably something for y'all. It's Jim Baker
eating his gruel,
buckets of slop.
Gruel. Yeah.
It looks like Ebenezer Scrooge off of It's a Christmas Carol, waiting for Jacob Marley to show up. He's sitting in front of his fire eating his slop, and it's called Creamy Potato Soup Bulk Bucket. That is what we're dealing with right now. And he takes a sip of it and just about dies.
It was like me in that animated version of me where I'm choking on the Olipop,
yes,
dude.
It's literally you choking on the Olipop. Yeah. And he's trying to play it off like he's like, oh, it's so good, but it's just choking on it.
He's literally have to swallowing the grift. Like,
yeah,
oh, I gotta say something.
I gotta power through. It's like you did 20 years in prison. You were made for this. You were built for this moment.
Come on, Jimmy.
Nothing will be harder than what you had to put up with in jail.
Dude, there's some wild stuff. I was watching on Jim Baker, by the way. And
he's nuts.
It is
he's
buck wild.
Nuts, dude.
Yep.
He is out of this world, lost his he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for sure. Yep. All right. Well, that was don't forget to eat your instant grams. These are priceless. These are great. They are getting weirder. I'm seeing some of the submissions that we're getting. We're starting to drift. We're starting to move away a little bit, which I'm fine with. But there have been a couple, Jack, that I've received that I'm like, you know, I can't.
Questionable.
I can't do that on air.
Yeah.
Maybe Patreon. I can't do that on air. Maybe Patreon.
It's a kid show.
Yeah, it's a kid show. Patreon, you know, you
can let your hair out a little bit on.
You can let your hair down. We can be a little more PG, PG-13 if we have to over on the Patreon. But not on the main stage. Not on the main stage. Jim Baker choking on his clam chowder bucket or whatever it was is about as far as you can get.
Disgusting.
But as fun as that is, Jack, we do have business to get to, my friend. Mm-hmm. We are wrapping up our series in local church, Lord's Day Liturgy, our liturgy series. This has been a really enjoyable series. I've really enjoyed this. Hopefully you listeners have enjoyed kind of us walking through the different elements of a liturgical service in a Lord's Day. Obviously, there's going to be things that we didn't hit because there's the thing with liturgy is that you can, it can be expanded and it can be compressed, right? Depending on the local church, right? But yeah. What we wanted to do was try to hit the main kind of the big hitters, right? That most liturgical services are going to have in one way, shape, or form these elements that we walked through in this series. And we've walked through all of them from the very beginning of the call to worship to now we end with the benediction. So, Jack, let me ask you first before we kind of hop into talking about what is a benediction, why is it valuable, who's it for, what does it point to, all that good stuff. Does your church do a form of a benediction? And if so, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so we basically do, after Lord's Supper, we do announcements. Once we do announcements, that's where it's a very formal benediction usually. And it's very much the Aaronic benediction. May the Lord bless you and
bless
keep you.
Keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, give you peace, all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, so it's very Aaronic benediction usually. Sometimes we mix it up here and there, but not too much. We basically stick with the same things.
Cool.
We add one last thing, which is once the benediction is given, we say it's more towards the end, and may he give you peace. That's like the last stanza, and then we say peace be with you as well.
I love that.
And then basically go in his peace, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the go-to benediction that we have every week.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I like that. Our church does something very similar. It's always the passage in which the benediction is taken from will change depending on the Sunday, but it's always a benediction that's rooted in Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. It has its roots somehow in Scripture, whether it's a straight reading of one of the classic benedictions that you get in like, you know, Ephesians chapter 3 or Jude verse 24 through 25, something like that. Or if it's a paraphrase, right, where we're taking the aspects of that scripture and using it to apply to our congregation, right? And it's honestly something that I think a lot of people, and I know I was definitely included in this before I was really introduced to more liturgical style services. People think of a benediction and it really does just fly under the radar. It really does just kind of, it's one of those things that you don't really think about a lot. It's in, you know, it's just, it, like I said, it flies under the radar. You really don't, it's not something that gets a lot of press because of some of the other big hitters in the liturgical service, the things we've already talked about, preaching of the word, the sacraments, right? Confession of sin, assurance of pardon, all those things. Those are very big players in the liturgical zeitgeist, if you will. And the benediction often can feel like an afterthought or like a tag on, right? Yeah. But in reality, when understood correctly and understood, I would say historically as well, the benediction is such a beautiful moment in which the pastors of that local church are proclaiming truth and are delivering a blessing and a reminder to the congregation that is the end cap of that Lord's Day service that then sends them into the week with the reminder ultimately of Christ and his gospel, but also of the faithfulness of the Lord and things like that, right? So hopping into it a little bit, a benediction, it's derived from the Latin meaning a good word. That's literally what it means. It's you are giving a good word to somebody, right? You're proclaiming a good word over a people, right? And it's often what I have found in and maybe it's just because I'm Baptist, but I like splitting things up into threes, right? Yeah. I like the kind of the threefold purpose. You know, we've talked about like the threefold purpose of the law, things like that. I didn't start that. Calvin started that. But I have found there to be kind of like a threefold purpose of a benediction, a good benediction. What does it accomplish, right? Ultimately, as we can say, as we have already said, the best benedictions are rooted in scripture. Mm-hmm. I know that that is something that would, I think other churches would differ in. There's some pastors that will write their own benedictions. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think the benediction can be a time where you can very much personalize it to your people and really, really customize it to maybe the sermon that was just preached or things like that. Again, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that practice, but I do think that a good benediction, a solid benediction, has its roots in scripture. You should be able to see it in scripture, hear it in scripture, see where it's coming from in scripture, because ultimately it's the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the idea of the liturgical service. I think we talked about that at the very beginning when we talked about the call to worship, is your call to worship comes from the word of God. You're calling the people to order. You're calling them to the business at hand. We're here to worship God. That is what we're here to do. So when you have a biblical, gospel-centered, scripture-rooted liturgical service, you see the word of God permeated throughout the entirety of it. Mm-hmm. And what I love about a liturgical service is that you have the beginning and the end that are filled with scripture. The Lord gets the first word, and the Lord gets the last word.
Yeah.
And everything else in the middle is still rooted in scripture. That's something that I really, really love about it. I would say this too, Jack, and you can hop into this. I think there's a lot of people, and I have found this to be true, that believe the benediction to just be an end-capped prayer.
Yeah.
Right? That it's just one more prayer in the service, and that's all it is. I would disagree with that, and I want to know if you do as well.
Yeah, I think the benediction is supposed to be something that is, as you're the Lord's Day service is there to gather people together and then send them out with the Lord's blessing, right?
Right, right.
So I don't just think it's like just another prayer. It's there to bless your people and to send them out into the work of sharing the gospel with people, mm-hmm. and showing them what the gospel is in word and deed, and proclaiming the gospel and understanding that from a theological, biblical perspective as well too. So yeah. I think the benediction is more than just, I pray over the people and boom, you know, hocus pocus, there you go. Done.
Right. Yeah.
There's there's something to be said about different church. I don't know about different church traditions, but historically Black church traditions in America have said stuff like this, where it is mostly Black Baptists have said this in the past, where it is, we want to say something to you in order that it would get down deep into our bones, kind of language.
Yeah.
So I feel like our brothers and sisters in the Black church have at least helped me to understand, how can I, at the Lord's Supper, show people how this truth is going down deep into their inner person and being rooted in that. I think that's what the benediction should be doing. It should be going into your bones so that throughout the week, you can understand that the Lord is with me, that he is causing his face to shine upon me and give me peace.
Yes.
So there's elements to that that I think is just more than a prayer. It's a way in which your pastors are praying over you to send you out in a similar way that I think Jesus does when he ascends into heaven and he gives a great commission too. I feel like it's a weekly reminder of that.
Yes.
And it's like a looping.
Yes.
Yep. So the benediction is something that I think your pastors are imitating Jesus in blessing you. That ultimate blessing is coming from the Lord. You're being sent out as well too, just as Jesus sent out the original apostles, disciples, into the world to go preach the gospel. Yeah. I think it's the same It's a loop. It's that loop,
right?
In which you're reenacting that.
Yeah.
The same way that the people of Israel would reenact other things throughout the history in which God would interact with them.
Sure.
So I think that's kind of like, we don't have a temple, right? We don't, and we would say that we do certain, I would say, seasonal reenactions, so to say, to remember certain special things about the life of Christ, right? And why Christ was sent to us. Especially, I think, in the Advent and the Easter season, right? Mm-hmm. But I think every week, it is a time for you to remember that the Lord reigns, and he sits on high, and he is sending you out into the world so that you can proclaim the gospel. That's at least in my understanding of the benediction, that it's more than just a prayer.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I love what you said about it's a moment. It's a moment to let I'm obviously paraphrasing what you said, but it's a moment to let the truths that we have heard all service sink into our bones, right? That it's not just something that, you know, we engage with the Lord's Day service, we listen to the word, we sing the songs, we confess, we're assured of our pardon, we take the sacraments, and then we leave, and it hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It hasn't had any effect. If anything, it was slightly emotional and possibly just intellectual, right? What the benediction does is it affirms and it confirms everything that we have engaged in that Lord's Day service and says, okay, now this is real.
Yeah.
This is real. And this is for you. Mm-hmm. This isn't just for your head. This isn't just for your feelings. This is for all of you, right? Yeah. And you need to take these truths that we have heard and sung and preached and engaged with together corporately, and you need to take them with you through these doors and out into your week, right? Until you come back a week later and get recharged again, right? That's what the Lord's Day is it's just this, it's this spiritual nourishment and recharge that we need every single week, coming into those doors ragged on a Sunday morning, right? Ragged from sin, ragged from the world, ragged from our flesh. I need something beyond me, right? Mm-hmm. And I need to be reminded as I leave. Don't let this just sit in your head. Don't let this just stop at your emotions. Let it dig deep into your bones. I really love that. And it's exactly what the benediction does, right? There's a great Ligonier article. I will put it in the description of this episode, in which Derek Thomas says this. I think it was Derek Thomas. Was it? Yes, it was Derek Thomas. Derek Thomas says this. He says, a benediction comes at the end of the service, and a benediction is a blessing, a gospel blessing. It's saying to the people of God, you have worshiped, you're going out for the rest of the week to work and labor. Go in peace. Go with the blessing and the assurance of God's covenant promises upon you that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, that you are Christ's, and that Christ's will be yours forever. You may experience trials and difficulties this week, but you are covenant children underneath the umbrella of covenant blessings. You are not under a covenant of curses. Remind yourself that you're under the sunlight of the gospel this coming week. And he says the benediction is a glorious moment. I love that. I really, really like that. And then he goes on to say how a lot of pastors will give the benediction with their hands raised, outstretched toward the congregation, which is how I agree with him. I believe that's how they did it in the early church. That when we blessed the people, we sent them out, the pastor raises his hand in blessing toward the people as the mouthpiece of God, saying these truths are true, not because we've earned them, not because we've somehow conjured them up. These are true because God is true, and he will not deny himself, right?
Yeah, historically, scripturally speaking as well, too, if you go back into the Old Testament, my wife and I were reading. We were camping this weekend and we were listening to Second Chronicles. So finishing up the Old Testament, going in the New Testament. And it's like, it's basically a lowdown of who were terrible kings and who weren't.
Yeah.
And how the good kings and the bad kings basically brought forth different either reforms or just debauchery to the land. And there is elements where the kings that walked in the ways of their father David, as the scriptures say,
right,
basically are trying to make a covenant with the people. And when they do that, they're going to the temple, and the king is basically stretching out his arms, and it's almost like this very, it's what we see basically manifested in Jesus, that he is our high priest and he is our king as well too. And he is our Messiah, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just a very interesting thing that I think a lot of reasons why people don't trust and don't want to go to church is because they don't see pastors caring for people like, in some ways, the scriptures show Jesus or other people caring for people.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think there's an element there where it's like, you really don't care about me. You care about your power and the way that you're either getting celebrity or not, or getting attention or getting money and stuff like that. So all of the tertiary things that we wouldn't say that's what being a pastor is about. But yeah, raising of the hands is very important because it shows that there's basically a renewing of the covenant, so to say, as well, too, there.
Sure.
So,
yeah. And that's why I say don't let it just be a tag on to your service. The benediction has a very important place and a very important purpose and function, right? And kind of getting to that threefold purpose that I was talking about, right? We've already covered all these, so it's going to be easy. But the benediction it's a blessing. Right? The pastor is blessing the congregation. He's saying, the Lord be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you. May you walk in the peace that comes from the gospel. And let that peace permeate your week as you trial and as you toil. Right? It's a proclamation. It's a proclamation of what God has done. Like, look at what we have confessed this whole service. Look at how the gospel has covered over our need. Look at how Christ in his faithfulness has met you in your death, in your need, and has perfectly provided for you in those things. And finally, it's a reminder. It's a reminder not of just of all of the things that we have spoken of up to this point, but a reminder of God's faithfulness and our responsibility, as Jack said, to not let that just sit in our heads, let it sink to your bones, and then go and live. Live like it's true, right? Live like you believe that it's true. It's such an important aspect of the Lord's Day service, and something that really should, it should be the object of a lot of care when you are engaging with it as pastors, right? So some things that I've seen, you know, like I said, I'm a huge fan, and I know we're Baptist. We don't like it. We don't like anything. We don't like anything that smells, even has a hint of being, you know, emotional or charismatic in service. But you know what, pastors, get those hands up. Yeah. Get those hands up. Cover the people and bless them. Right. Yeah. Get those hands up and bless the people with the benediction. Let your prep go into the benediction, right? Don't just be content with picking, you know, a verse that kind of sounds like it's a, you know, a good verse to close the service with. Be intentional. Take time with it. Look to see how that benediction ties into the songs that were sung, the word that was preached, right? Find passages of scripture that you can utilize that further develop and further enunciate the point that has been driven home the entire liturgy that Lord's Day Sunday. Take time with it, right? And let your heart of care be seen in it, right? Often I say, you know, to guys, and again, I'm not an authority by any means, but I often say to guys, like, you preach just as much with your tone of voice and your eyes than you do your words.
Yeah.
Right? The congregation should see and know and feel the care that is coming from their pastors.
Yeah.
They shouldn't just hear it. They should definitely hear it, right? But I don't want to just hear the care. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to feel it, right? And again, that's not a overly emotional, charismatic thing. It's being, I would say, intentional with how we communicate, especially those of us that are tasked with caring for people, have a flock underneath us that we need to take into consideration. We are multifaceted beings. We are not mind only, but we are also soul, right? We feel things. We interpret things. Be very mindful with how you communicate. Mm-hmm. And the benediction is a wonderful moment for your congregation, not only to hear the words of care being proclaimed, but to see it. Let them see it. Let them see those hands out. Let them hear it in the tone of voice. Look at your people as you give that blessing. Connect with them and show them, look, I am showing you and giving you the gospel here. This is what Christ has done for you. Rest in it and take comfort from it, gain strength from it, and come back next week and we'll do it all over again. Right? The benediction's awesome, and it's something that people shouldn't overlook. It should be very intentional with how you engage with it, and it has some very, very wonderful applications and purpose for the people on the Lord's Day. And it's the best way to wrap up a liturgical service. God gets the first word, and God gets the last word, and the people are better for it. Mm-hmm. So anything else on that, Jack, before we wrap up?
I think we put a nice little bow on it.
I think we did, man. This has been an awesome series.
Yeah.
It has. I'm looking forward to next year's. Jack and I, we've got a couple ideas. Man. We've got a couple ideas rolling around. We've got a couple ideas rolling around in our heads right now. And I'm looking forward to this one too. Yeah. It's gonna be great. But Jack, we'll announce that at a later date. Why don't you, my friend, get us out of here?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's goal here on the Reformatory to make the local church central to the believer's life, you can keep up with us on the sociables. You can send us a direct message, episode idea, questions, comments, concerns, anything along those lines on those dastardly things that we can't get enough of, like the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with bad takes and heresy and chocolate marshmallow.
All the good stuff.
And the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. You can find us all at those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Like I said, drop us a line there. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in our further endeavors.
That's right. There are multiple ways that you can support the Reformatory. If you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, which with that Jim Baker video, that might be good. Yeah. It might be a good idea with that one. We're on YouTube. Head on over there and search for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We would really, really appreciate it. You can like this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. Helps get the podcast out to more people, and that's always really, really encouraging to us when we see some new reviews come in of people that appreciate the podcast and appreciate the focus. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. It's been a good couple months for Patreon. Really enjoyed that. People hopping over there and joining the most exclusive club in Reformdom. It's very true. It's very true. A lot of these other podcasts say that, you know, they've got good Patreons. Reformatory is where it's at. And we're cheap. We're cheap. And you get what you pay for. No, it's for $5. $5 a month. A fiver. You too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you, if you should choose to do so, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for listening to this episode. And we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.